No Facts, All Feelings Wrestling Podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And this week is this week. Am I right, ladies?
This week has been this week all week.
All goddamn week.
It has been. Not a moan of this week hasn't been this week. And that's, I wish there were someone I could take it up with. But we are energized and we're about to really be talking about some stuff with you. Y'all got any chit-chat to get out of the way before we get into this? Or this is my worst yet, actually. My worst
podcast. Yeah. Y'all done here? Or can I move on?
y'all that good? Yeah, that good? That good? Okay. Well, I love to be here and I'm good at it.
Let's functional brains.
Yeah. Let's talk about the pinnacle, okay? MJF and FTR cut a Dynamite promo in which FTR said that they like Wardlow as a friend and won't take sides in the friend. Well,
the way you said that made it sound like FTR friend zoned him.
Yeah, they like Wardlow, but only as a friend. Wardlow,
they're not trying to hit it.
I just said it that way because it's like I didn't believe it. Like, did you believe it?
No.
I was like, I've never seen them speak to each other.
No,
absolutely not.
They've got such a bad habit of like saying things that there has been no evidence for ever. It's like,
yeah,
out of control.
Which is funny when MJF does it, because you're like, that makes sense that he's just saying things and they're not true. But FTR, and rooted in reality, their characterization is rooted in realistic manhood. Okay.
I mean, you're right. It is. Yeah.
It doesn't add up that they've been going along with any of this. But now they're like, Wardlow is our good friend, so he can't be getting in the middle of this. And MJF was like, whatever. He actually loves to talk shit about you. Later in the episode, FTR fought the Gun Club. MJF was on commentary. Wardlow had been banned from the building, showed up in the mezzanine somewhere. Yeah. Showed up. Yeah, in the mezzanine.
No. Did he? I think he start. Did he start from the lobby and then he like punched a popcorn table or threw somebody into a popcorn table?
That's actually what I meant by mezzanine.
Yeah, security.
But yes, they set up a lot of popcorn on a table, which I did think was really good scene setting.
Yeah, he was big mad.
He was really mad. Yeah.
Well, his face was on posters all over the building, so of course he was mad. Yeah.
Actually, a compliment.
It takes so many security guards to stop him from getting to MJF. I mean, it took like 20 this time. Yeah. So,
love and to his see face it. Gets so red. So he was trying to get to MJF while the Gun Club were fighting FTR. I feel like I'm in a fugue. Like the way, even as I'm describing this, I'm like, what are you saying? But it was, you know, it was what it was, and it was fun. And FTR won. MJF came out to celebrate with them. They got in a big fight about how FTR was like, this is our this isn't about you, get out of here, whatever, you ruined our huge win against the Gun Club. Okay.
Really? Absolutely degrading.
Commentary literally said the sentence, the number one ranked Gun Club against the number five ranked FTR. And I was just like, you have never said anything more insane. And I like literally went and looked up the rankings because I was like, that can't be right. But it was.
That's crazy. Sometimes it's like, when you're cooking the books, try to hide it a little. You know what I mean?
Right.
But they don't. And then later, FTR did a promo that, and again, it's like my brain's pretty off. I could not follow what they were up to in this, but they basically were just being like, we're not bad guys. We actually are good guys who like to win, and we're going to win the tag team belts, and we'll be having the best match ever against the Young Bucks. And I was like, the Young Bucks don't have you know that, right? They don't have the tag team belts. separate things. They're separate things. They didn't even mention Jurassic Express.
Yeah. I do love the idea that, like, so the Young Bucks took it off FTR, and I just love the idea that they're like still so mad at the Young Bucks for being the Young Bucks that they like haven't processed that it's gone to two other teams since then. They're just like, and then when I finally get to punch Matt Jackson in his stupid face, everything will be better. I'll just be happy.
I would love if that was the textual thing they were doing. Like, I feel like it's inadvertent. Like, you're totally right. But it's like, man, if they were doing a thing where, like, FTR had just been mad this whole time about the stupid Young Bucks, like, that would be so funny and delightful. And sort of in character with their, like, humorless, like, we have to win personas.
Yeah, and it would be honestly, like, great surreal comedy if then the long arc was that eventually the Young Bucks do get the tag team belts back, FTR win the tag team belts back off of the Young Bucks, and don't acknowledge that anything happened in the two Young Bucks reigns. Money on the table.
I would love it.
Yeah, well, what else about this?
I feel like MJF calling the Gun Club the Asinine Boys was that was pretty good.
And Billy's Kids, that was a little
that
pun.
That was a really good one. Yeah.
Comedy pun.
I loved MJF on commentary. Yeah, it's, I don't know. I feel like this whole thing like should be making FTR more interesting to me, and it's just like really not. Like, they're not doing anything to delight me ever. And it's like they're always just yelling like, oh, you're like family to me, or we're best friends with Wardlow. And it's like, like, show me. The Wingmen actually did this like better than anybody, where they like showed them having actual conversations with each other instead of just like insisting for no reason that they were friends, you know?
I know. And it is a little bit also like a thing where it's like, I do buy that. The FTR like love each other and would protect each other at all costs. Unfortunately, we've talked about it many times. It's wasted, but yeah, it's true. And that partly is why I'm like, and there, I don't believe that you have any other friends that you would ever protect. Yeah. I think that you only would protect each other.
Last night, Sarah was talking about a tag team, and I thought she was talking about Red Dragon, and she was talking about FTR, and I fucking lost my mind. She's like, I just really love it when an older man just protects a younger man, and when the younger man's getting beaten down, and the older man is like, he's just a boy, don't hurt him. Lord. And then like I was like, is Red Dragon on my TV? And she's like, no, I'm talking about FTR. And I was like, it's happening right now.
It's crazy to see, like, they look like they're 6 months apart in age at most. Like,
Cash is amazing. Just a boy, Ian.
He's just a boy, not yet a woman even. Okay, well, that's all happening. It's all just gonna still be happening, so that's what I got.
Yeah. We'll be subjected to more of this.
Yeah
I don't also this is I nobody's gonna have the answer to this, but so FTR challenged the Young Bucks to a fight, but like we didn't see the Young Bucks like accept, and like the pay-per-view isn't until Memorial Day, but like, are they going to waste a Young Bucks FTR match, which everyone's thirsty for, on a Dynamite? Are they going
to know?
Like, it just doesn't seem. I don't know. Whatever.
Drag it out for another 2 months.
Yeah, it doesn't. It doesn't seem like they could. But then I'm just like, yeah, but like everyone talks about like that being a really good feud, and so the idea of them just wasting it on a Dynamite, I'm like, strange.
Yeah, and like, well, I don't know, I guess eventually there will be a pay-per-view where the Young Bucks don't have a match. I don't like saying that, I don't feel comfortable with it, but
well, I think they're training that us for that now, because they just don't show up on Dynamite anymore.
I mean, it's like I'm actually in the depths of despair about it, and we'll see them on Rampage, but we'll get back to that. Okay, do we have anything else to say about this?
Did we talk about FTR way longer than you thought we would?
Yeah, for sure. Like, years longer, really. But I don't. The worrying thing is, I'm like, I don't think that I've said a single full sentence. So you guys have been great, though. Let's talk about Red Dragon on Rampage. Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish beat 5 and 10. Mm-hmm. And afterwards, in the like ensuing melee where like they were getting beaten up, and then Jurassic Express and Christian Cage ran out to help, et cetera, et cetera, Adam Cole, who'd already stolen Hangman's belt last week, stole Jurassic Express's belts. And then this week on Dynamite, they hosted a belt celebration, which was one of the best things I've ever seen. I mean, it was so funny.
When they brought out that cardboard box with like balloons written on the outside, and then they opened it up and two balloons flew out, and they had like tape on the over the names on the belts, and they had written their own names on it. So funny.
They deserve an award for attention to detail.
They really do. And I don't know which one of them was saying it, but when Hangman came out, it was just his music. One of Bobby or Kyle kept going, is that the balloon guy? Is that the balloon guy?
Oh, my God. gosh. Well, it's probably Kyle because he was drunk on too much champagne.
It was so funny. He like got sick allegedly in the middle of his little speech and he had to sit down and put his head between his knees. It was delightful.
That was so funny.
I mean, it is, Leigh, I think you said this, that you were like, Adam Cole gets away with it for another week. But that is what it felt like, where it was like, yeah, I was mad at you last week because you're not doing good feud work. But at the same time, this is so good for me that fine, have it. Fine. Okay.
Yeah. It's very like, again, all the Polykill stuff is just delightful and hilarious. And I wish he was putting a little more effort into the Hangman stuff. But it really is like, well, this was definitely the most delightful thing that happened on Dynamite. So, like, good job. Good job, all.
Yeah. And honestly, quite relatable, Kyle's little bit where he just kept being like, I don't know what my point was. I was like, me every week. Every week, every day, every hour, and every minute of my life.
And especially like that exact scenario where you start a sentence and you're like, here's what I'm going to say. And then like halfway through the words, you're like, no, I have no idea what I was going to say. Absolutely none. And I have no way how to get out of this sentence.
No, because you started so strong. Like this really matters. What I'm about to say really matters. And then halfway through, it's like, probably not that much though, because I don't know what it was. I did think because Jurassic Express were for some reason involved in this. I mean, Jurassic Express and Dark Order do have like a long-standing kind of like you got my back, I got yours thing, but we'll talk later about why this one did feel a little weird, I think. Is that right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
It did. And I also feel like Jurassic Express have been very bland as the tag champs, like, and they don't take opportunities to do anything much, and it's like you guys could be being like funny or delightful or like saying anything, and like I know they're all rough on the mic, but like,
but
I don't know,
JB is getting better at his promos, and yeah, he's done some funny promos like where the mic work wasn't the problem. The problem was that they do feel very like they could be anyone running in to save anybody,
right?
It doesn't exactly. Like you never feel like I understand why Jurassic Express like might or might not be running in to save someone. Which is like kind of interesting because I'm just thinking about like it actually would be kind of fun and interesting to have some like belt champions whose thing is just that like they're good guys, so they'll come out to save someone who's in trouble, but sometimes the person they save is like the scorpion that bites them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, well, you were getting beaten up, so I had to because I'm a good guy.
It would be funny if they, like now that they're the champs, they're kind of like the firefighters of the of the locker room, you know, like someone's in trouble somewhere.
AEW 911 crossover when? Anyway, because Jurassic Express were involved, I did want to briefly touch on the fact that, so Marco Stunt's contract officially did not get renewed. So Marco will never be seen on our TVs again. He's just being like, did you see that Seth Rollins tweeted a like gif of Marco today?
No,
really?
We can't. Yeah, we should look at it and we'll talk about it off pod because I actually didn't understand it and was like, it must be something's going on here that I don't know anything about. But it was really funny to me that in the Fightful post about it, like one of the, they were just like, they didn't renew Marco Stunt's contract citing budget cuts or like something, or like citing like budget reasons because they have so many wrestlers. And I was just like, capitalism is so fucked up where it's like, how much do you pay Marco Stunt a year? Like if it's a like really good little wage, 80K mm-hmm. or whatever, like I'm like, that's like, you know what I mean? Like a little, like a normal worker wage of a person who like could have an office job or be a wrestler. 80K is where I'd be like, yeah, sure, I'll make 80K to do this.
That's your line. That's where you do kind anything, of. Kind of.
But where I'm like, but where CM Punk is making like millions and millions of dollars, and it is just like, you work in a business, and they're just like, well, we did have to let people go, but yes, our CEO is making... Do you know what I mean? I was just like, this is so funny. It's nobody's fault, and I'm not saying it in a mean way. It is just... unfortunately dark comedy.
Yeah it's true. I also wonder how much like budget really played into Marco Stunt, who they've been blanking from TV for like 6 months or whatever.
No, it's like, about, I mean, sadly I think it is like that they're like
too
we want
small.
Jurassic Express has to grow up and become like big strong boy. Jungle Boy is mm-hmm. a man, and he can't run around with his little cartoon vibe anymore.
Yep.
He actually fucks.
As Anna Jay keeps reminding us and then deleting the tweets.
He fucks and he has pubes.
Don't worry about it.
Did any of that make sense?
Yeah.
It did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's all. And then the Bucks are going to fight Top Flight on Friday.
That I'm like really excited about. Yeah. People will have watched it already by the time this aired, but I'm like so excited for it. I was like, well, I'll be watching Rampage on time this week.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have to, because that's going to be a banger.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of bangers, actually, little Yuta Wheeler finally had his like big little singles fight. His big little lie with Bryan Danielson. It was very sexual.
I was losing it because like Yuta's been the one who's gotten like he's gotten the terrible like the squash matches and like Lee Moriarty and Daniel Garcia kept getting like the high profile like longer ones and all three of us kept being like, what the hell is with this? And then for him to get like literally the sexiest match I've seen in a very long time, like there was a lot of very sexual moves.
Bryan Danielson really can do a lot of sexual moves. It's very interesting that Daniel Garcia like did not get the sexy moves out of Bryan Danielson.
No.
And
Well, but you know what it is, though? Like, I think actually this is great character work because Daniel Garcia showed up. He immediately got all the big matches. He got to prove himself. He got to do his little roars on stage. And Yuta got squashed and got shat on by his own family. By the time they were fighting Bryan Danielson, character-wise, Daniel Garcia's like, I'm the shit. Like, you come to me. Like, I'm doing so good. And Bryan Danielson was like, you're a dumb little boy. And just beat him down. But Yuta was trying to prove himself.
That's true.
And when you have the hunger. Mm-hmm.
That's true.
Is erotic.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. Yuta was mad going into that match. Yes. Like, Yuta was like all riled up. That's true.
Yeah.
The best sex comes out of that. I know that.
Yes, I know it too.
And then William Regal was on commentary really, you know, talking the whole thing up in very romantic terms too. So
yeah, and you know. He was impressed. He was finally impressed by Yuta. Mm-hmm. Not that he wasn't before, but he was like, he came back for seconds and that match was crazy. Yeah. Like all the stuff they were doing was crazy. The bridges were crazy. Mm-hmm. The part where, like, not to get into it, but where Bryan Danielson had like locked Yuta, holding his neck back, just like strokes his neck with his thumb, literally like he's like just getting a little pulse. Like he's like, you still there? And then elbows his chest until all his blood bristles. Till all his blood vessels are broken. I watched that on my TV. I loved it. Shocking.
Can you believe that little baby Yuta spit on him?
No.
He was showing a lot of spirit.
Yeah.
Wow.
He is a wild horse.
Yeah. He's getting adopted. I mean,
he was a baby horse, but now he is a stallion.
Yeah. Wild stallion.
Are baby horses foals?
Baby horse.
I think everything we're saying is really good.
This is one of our best ones. I've actually never at this stage in a podcast recording felt more like, what is happening with me right now?
Oh, God.
Baby horse. Yuta Wheeler. Leah, do you want to share this theory that you mentioned?
Oh, so they will also know the answer to this by the time they hear this podcast. Oh. But
well, should we say it then?
It's not a spoiler because we don't know.
No, I know. I meant what
but
if we're
how
wrong.
How stupid.
Yeah. Oh, if we're going to look stupid, then maybe we won't.
Well, you want it? I don't know.
So Ring of Honor's pay-per-view is this weekend and Yuta's going for the belt. And Sarah thinks he's going to win the Ring of Honor title, which will finally impress the Blackpool Combat Club. And he will get to join them while wearing a belt.
Oh.
I love that. It's a good theory. And also, Sarah looks stupid and not us if it's wrong.
Yeah.
I love it.
Take it to Sarah.
Yeah. We just like it. I think that it's promising. Yeah. I like the idea of it. What do y'all think are going on with the rest of Best Friends? Do you even have a thought on this? Or Are they gonna go? Are they gonna? Are they gonna do a little brat boy heel turn? I thought maybe they could.
I don't know. I mean, I don't think so because, like, I think that there's not enough. I think there's is there too many heel tag teams right now?
Oh my god, I don't know.
I kind of don't think that they're fully gonna join turn heel, but I also don't really have any kind of confidence that they're gonna have a coherent storyline in any way because they don't like to tell stories. They just like to have, like, vibes, you know?
Yeah. No, and I think they could be headed into that. You know what? That's exactly right. I think they could be headed into, like, a little bad boy period where they're like, we got our feelings hurt and we're pretty mad now and we're not having a good time anymore.
Yeah.
It would be interesting. I don't feel confident that they're going to do it. But, like, if Wheeler betraying them and joining the combat club, like, that could send them in a heel turn, angry kind of way that I would enjoy if they did.
That's what I was thinking. But you're right that I don't feel sure about it.
Well, maybe Chuck Taylor will get to think of, like, a group costume to show their anger at each other, because you know he loves nothing else than to put people in costumes.
He does love that. And actually, I think that could be a really good direction for Chuck Taylor if it's like it was more like thematic costume, like he's bringing Met Gala vibes to AEW, where he's like, my concept for this group costume was X, X, and Y. Are you listening, Austin? Give it a try. Mox was nowhere to be seen during any of the Bryan Danielson stuff, even though they're married, so it's not supportive. He did fight Jay Lethal on Dynamite, and that match did happen.
That's about all that can be said.
This week has been this week all week, and this match, it happened.
Okay. This week has been this week all week, and this match definitely happened. Back to you, Leah.
There were so many things in this episode, or this whole week, I guess, that were just like, yeah, that was a match. Like, it was fine. Like, I'm not mad about it, but it's just like there were so many things that, like, don't tie into anything and don't have a plot line and, like, have no emotional component, and I just feel like they're kind of phoning it in post-pay-per-view, and it's been, like, several weeks post-pay-per-view now.
You know what? It feels like it's like post pay-per-view and like summer break at the same time. Yeah. Like, it's like, and it must be true because when you do long-term storytelling, that it's not just like pay-per-view to pay-per-view arcs. It's bigger arcs too. And we are in like a bigger arc wrap up, as proven by the fact that we never see the Bucks anymore and they don't like to do anything or come be seen.
Took their kids on spring break and
I think they went on vacation for Matt's birthday.
I mean, I'm sure they deserve it, I guess.
They probably took their all their football, all their shoes.
Well, you think actually like, you know how Dynamite like started in October, and actually like there are some websites where they put it all in like a season one, like is like 2019 October through like 2020 October. Oh, so yeah. It's like, if you think of that as like the start of the season of television, then we are like in a real mid slump period.
I think this time last year we were still watching the Miro feud.
Today, Thursday, is the 1 year anniversary of Arcade Anarchy.
Oh, wow, there you go.
That's right. I saw that.
I saw that on Chuck Taylor's Twitter, I still have alerts for, and it shows up on my phone.
Yep. That's how I saw that too. Yeah.
You need those. Still.
That's what I get my information. Do I have breaking news alerts? God. No, I do not. I have Chuck Taylor alerts. Don't worry about it.
Jay Lethal's really a face. He's straight up a face.
He's a face.
Wow. Okay.
Some men are just men, you know.
We've been doing this podcast for a year, and I still lose my mind when I realize that Allie has no idea who's coming out of what tunnel and what they mean, considering the title of our podcast.
In her defense, sometimes they do swap them, sometimes there's only one.
I think I know, because for some reason I finally clocked Jurassic Express coming out of one of them. Me looking at it, the right tunnel is for faces.
Yeah.
And the left is for heels. Bad boys. That's right. The bad boy tunnel.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. Did you ever see the backstage pictures that like they hang like a sign that says heel over the heel tunnel, and the face tunnel just says baby?
Yeah, I thought that was funny because, yeah, the baby face tunnel. They're just saying, here go the babies.
There's the babies.
Okay. Oh, yeah. But he's maybe going to heel turn. I didn't understand this, actually, because he did the promo where he was like, I'm winning matches, but then I lose some. And why? Because people cheat. There's got to be another way. And I was like, well, the cheating's illegal. I guess the way is like to go to Tony and say, like, do something about how many people win by cheating in this company.
That would
like,
keep cheating. Oh my God. That would be the funniest gimmick if it was just a tattletale.
Tony.
Tony.
When the ref's back was turned,
Tony, if you look at the tape, you can see.
Tony, maybe we should start having instant replays to judge the calls.
Tony,
maybe
have you ever seen tennis? Process. You know how they do it there?
Mm-hmm. Oh my God.
Everybody could get 5 appeals each and we could review the tape.
This is a hot idea. This is good. Yeah. Jay Lethal, are you gonna do a narc gimmick? Because it's a yes from me. Well, if he doesn't though, the promo didn't make sense at the end.
It's very funny that because he was doing some very intense and hammy face acting of being mad that he lost. It does give the impression like, I thought I would come to AEW and win, but I keep losing. If this is wrong, I don't understand it.
No, you're right. Oh my gosh. I can't explain what just happened in my brain. Okay. Anything else? Moving on?
Y'all done here?
No. Why my energy is that like the restaurant is closing in 10 minutes and I'm like really trying to get this family out the door.
Can I take your plate? We gotta go.
Y'all need anything else now?
It's very funny too because like other weeks you usually just like go ahead and transition and like don't give us the option of stopping, but it does seem more rushy to like ask us like, so are you done or what? Like,
I know it. I really think I don't know why I'm so stupid today.
It's
but
been such a weird week.
It has been.
It might be allergies. Last week I felt like I was sleepwalking the whole week, and then I went out and I was like, wait, everything's in bloom, and then I got some allergy medication, and then it's been better. Except I forgot to take it today.
Well, no, it's
so that's my
here,
deal.
So. Nothing's really in bloom.
Snowed?
Gross. Yeah, nothing's in bloom.
You should
but
move here.
Anyway, y'all done? So Jericho cut another promo with his new comedy faction on Dynamite this week, and they were doing their whole bit where they're being like, Eddie and Santana and Ortiz will never come back. They're not here. They're not there. They're not anywhere. But this time they were there right behind the curtain where they had to be for comedy. And so we had a big old brawl between the 5 members of the Jericho Appreciation Society and Eddie, Santana and Ortiz. They were only 3 men against 5. They did get defeated and humiliated in the ring with various indignities performed upon their bodies. That kind of thing.
Wow. Makes it sound worse than it was.
I was doing the dishes actually while that was happening, so I don't really know like what happened to their bodies. I just know that they didn't like it and they lost. Yeah,
they didn't like it. That's right.
Yeah. Sure, they didn't like it.
I know. And Mox did not come out to rescue Eddie, which they just seem to be not interacting in a way with no explanation. I feel like I would like it in wrestling. Like there's so many times when someone just like they just don't seem to be friends anymore, but no one's saying anything, and it's just like you guys never hang out. Like what's going on?
Yeah. And it's especially annoying because Eddie keeps giving interviews about Mox and he keeps giving like literally the best quotes, and then they won't let him. They just won't let him be with his husband.
Disgusting.
It's homophobia. Am I right, ladies?
You could make a very strong case. Yeah.
Thank you. I agree. what was I going to say? Oh, you know what they should do more in wrestling to kind of like show you like just because someone isn't like in a storyline with someone, it doesn't mean they're not friends anymore. It's like at the end of some promos, someone should just like pop their head into frame and be like, oh, hey,
y'all done here?
Lunch?
That'd be amazing if like Mox was doing a promo and then Eddie was like, Mox, you finished? Come on.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah. That would be very effective. And it would take almost no time. You could do it with
it
so little
fun.
Effort. Yeah,
it'd be funny. And fun. Maybe sometimes let them just be like, dude, I was getting beaten up out there yesterday. I didn't see hide nor hair of you. And it's just like, oh, yeah, I was gone. Oh, I wasn't here.
I would give home with the baby. $10 billion for another promo where Eddie and Mox are sitting in front of like that fire. The fire. Oh, yeah. And Eddie's just like, no, it's not a problem. I was getting my ass kicked by Jericho and you were busy. No, it's cool. I don't think it's fine. And Mox is just like, oh, here we go again.
Here we go again.
I got a baby at home, but fine. Yeah. Like, all I can do is help you.
I honestly think that would be like, I think it would work good. And this is a good idea.
Yeah.
Did you guys see that? I'm artificially inflating this section, but that interview that Eddie gave today where he was like, sometimes Mox just disappears. And I'll be like, where were you? Yeah. He's like, I went home. And it's like, I saw you an hour ago. He's like, no, I'm home already.
It's a 6-hour flight. How'd you do that? Yeah, that was so funny.
I love that because it's like two things where I'm like, yes, I believe that actually Mox is Batman and that he could just get home somehow in like an expensive jet in a minute. Like, but also I love the idea that Mox is just like already in his mind, he's just already where he is, like he's not he's at the airport and he's like, right. But
I'm home with the baby,
nothing can make me turn around, so I am home. Yeah. I'm actually there because I'm not gonna not be there.
I like that. He's already there.
I'm already there. Take a look around. You're right, Leah. When you're right, you're right.
You'd be so happy if this was a musical podcast. It would be your dream.
I would be really happy, but unfortunately, anytime I sing on this podcast, it's like really bad. And I'm not like a great singer, but I'm an okay singer. Not on this podcast. Not for our listeners. All right. Max Caster fought CM Punk on Dynamite. Does anybody else want to take the lead? Because... Does anybody want to talk about it?
I mean, Max gave a classic little rap that I really enjoyed. He said something about voice of the moistless for Punk, which I thought was very funny. Great term of phrase. I forget the other stuff he said. I think there was a Will Smith slap reference.
He said, I'm going to make you shit yourself like a Z-Pack.
Oh, yeah. That was good. I love Max Caster's deep dive into wrestling history in the most immature way possible.
Yeah. He also said... your film is the only way that I'm gonna go to sleep. And then, spoiler, the match ended with Punk enthusiastically choking him into unconsciousness.
And so many people have longed to do over the years, but so few have gotten the opportunity.
Yeah, Punk really kind of looked like Max Caster was mildly hurting his feelings too, which I always appreciate when someone does get that look on their face.
Oh, really? Like, I guess he did have it a little, but he also seemed like genuinely, like he thought it was funny too. Like, it's like, I think
he was laughing
a little
the
bit
first
like,
half, and then he was like, yeah. Yeah, no.
Sarah's sister was like, do you think he's going to say Colt's name? And Sarah was like, if MJF didn't get to say Colt's name, Max Caster is not going to get to say Colt's name.
The fact that Colt's name is banned is like so charged. Although they did say it at one point, I feel like.
MJF made some comment about suing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he made a podcast. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But I don't think he's ever said Colt's name.
Actually, Colt. No. Yeah. Ooh, things a little fraught. Not a good situation.
It is always shocking to me that it's like for Max Caster to not say the thing he wasn't supposed to say. It's like,
true.
The way you character would like growth, reward like a really bad dog for like not shitting on the carpet. They didn't do anything good and you're like giving them 10 treats and being like, you did so good. I guess that's what I imagine happened when he got backstage. Tony was just there being like, you did amazing, sweetie. I am so proud of you. Yeah. Max Caster is so hot.
I know.
It's crazy. When his body
He looked
is
very
there,
hot next to CM Punk for some reason. The contract, like, he just looked very tall and very thick. And
he looked
just
really thick, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, next to Max Caster, CM Punk is nothing. I'm so sorry.
But like it was good. The contrast of like him and his tiny little trunks. I think it would have been a full nothing if he was wearing the long boys, but him and his tiny little trunks getting picked up and swung around by Max Caster. Yeah. I was like, wow, you like to see that.
I wanted to be clear. I loved everything I saw. I'm just saying if I had to like.
Oh, yeah. No, if you have to choose. If you're going to, obviously.
Please.
But yeah, guys, obviously, I liked seeing he pick him up. And yeah, like I liked seeing that, obviously. Yeah, I'm not a fucking idiot.
Anthony Bowens is super hot, too. I feel like his bod is looking like really good. Yeah. He just looks like a Greek god or something. Yeah. It's crazy.
I didn't realize that he had a little What are you saying?
I know, I was going to say something stupid, so finish your thing.
Oh, just I was going to say, I didn't realize he had a little injury, and that's why he's not wrestling.
Oh,
I didn't
either. Yeah, like a knee injury or something,
yeah.
Right?
Oh, man.
And Tony, that's it bad. Was like, I think he said it during Tony time, which is so funny.
Oh, Tony time.
During, you know, Tony time. But it sounds like it's something we made up.
It does, for sure.
Like a cover. Like, we can't reveal our source. I think he said it during Tony time. he was like, it's taking longer to heal than we thought. That's it. What were you gonna say, Leah? I'm sure I don't want to move on to this. I don't care about this.
No, I did. I love that Max Caster got a nice, a big little singles match by himself too. I was like, that's my disgusting boy.
And
there.
I love that they're so enthusiastic for each other. They, like, they're just about, they're just as happy about singles matches as they are like tagging teaming.
There was a very sweet moment at the beginning of that match where it's like Max like was looking for Anthony Bowens to give him the mic, and he wasn't where he thought he would be. And he kind of like glonked around, found him, gave him the mic, and then Max Caster just genuinely smiles. And I was like, that's very sweet. Yeah. I hope that you guys are good friends.
I think he almost handed the mic to the camera guy. And then like, I think his face was very like, oh, what a meatball I am.
You're a beautiful meatball.
So cute. It's crazy that Tony just like set them up and told them they'd be tagging together, and they aren't like childhood friends or something.
Yeah,
right. Like, they've got a real vibe.
Mm-hmm. So funny.
Yeah. But it was crazy also that Punk said that he's gunning for the world title belt, because I really thought he might go for the TNT belt. But...
Yeah, I'm actually, well, whatever. I mean, I'm sure I'll like it. But like, I was like, Punk Scorpio seems like a good match. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
especially because Punk loves to hang out just like at the mid card. Like in kayfabe, he's not a world champion.
No,
title
he hasn't
guy.
Gone for it all. He hasn't fucked with any of the top guys that much. And so like, that would be like a really good match. For both Scorpio and Punk, although, like, you know, if I have to deal with Dan Lambert much longer, I am going to lose my mind.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, mine's
gone. I mean, I do feel like Punk and Hangman probably will be interesting, at least. Like, obviously, I'm not mad about it, but yeah, I mean, Punk and Scorpio would have been good. So,
interesting.
Yeah. I don't know what Punk Hangman will be like. I literally have nothing, like, nothing is coming up in my banks to try.
It's, like, hard to imagine. Like, I do feel like, you know, Punk will probably pull something out, and you know Hangman's good at storytelling, so it'll probably be good. Yeah. But like, yeah, it's hard. It's very hard to imagine.
I know. Well, I mean, like when Punk fought Eddie, like that was a face-to-face match, but like he was just like psychologically like going after Eddie, and like obviously Hangman has like a million sore spots that you could go after, but like it's hard to see him doing it without looking more like a heel. Like he was I don't know. I think it's gonna be harder not to be a heel about it than it was for Eddie.
Because anyone coming after Hangman comes across real bad, because Hangman is all of our beautiful boys, you know, like us and the whole audience.
He's the world's beautiful boy.
Yeah, and he's tender. His feelings get hurt easily, like we don't like to see people picking on him.
Relatable. What was I gonna say? Oh shit, I was gonna say something about Hangman. I don't know. Oh shoot, I don't know.
Well, again, Kyle O'Reilly, you are the most relatable person in the world.
He got it from me.
Just sit down and put your head between your knees for a little bit. And...
Oh, I was gonna say this is so we keep being like feels like real like season lull, you know, whatever postseason, whatever. Doesn't it also like again with long term stories? Once you've gotten a certain way into like a book, you kind of know what the book is about, even if you don't know what is going to happen. You have like a like, okay, this is the kind of book it is, and these are some of the things that could happen. Some stuff's been set up. Right now, it really does feel like we're like 10% into the book.
Yeah.
And it's like, I have no clue what, I don't even know what I'm looking for, kind of.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like a book that didn't do a good job of like grabbing you right off the bat. It's a book that's starting slow.
It's a slow start. Like, it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so those are some of the best books, you know?
Sometimes they get good. Sometimes they don't, though.
Sometimes they're some of the worst books. That's right.
Yep.
There's two kinds of books.
And sometimes they're medium, you know?
Sometimes you forget about them. You like them when you're reading them, but you don't remember them later. There's all kinds of books.
This is the analysis that people come to Kennel Talk for.
Well, it might
We kind of bring some story analysis, really. So that's kind of our specialty.
Yeah, and we're pretty good at it. Okay, Nyla and Thunder Rosa cut a bunch of promos on each other this week. That seemed like pretty, Nyla's like, I don't respect you. And Thunder Rosa was like, I don't care, I'll kick your ass. And then Thunder Rosa finally got to do her like speech, her I Want song about like what kind of a champion she wants to be this week. And yeah, and that also happened. Like other things that we've talked about that happened on the show. This also happened on the show.
It's always nice to have two women giving promos that are both like good at promos, yeah, and mm-hmm, did a good job with it. So that was like I don't really remember any like emotional high points, but I was just like pleased to have some like competent feud type stuff going on, yeah, with them. So
that was good. Nyla's such a little shit stir. Like, yeah, she just cracks me up. Like, the fact that she called her Thunturd Rosa is so funny to me.
Nyla's like, so funny. Her Twitter is the funniest.
Her Twitter,
yeah,
is perfect. Yeah.
And she's a heel. It's like, get her on commentary. Because I was thinking about it again.
Oh, God.
A, she'd I've said it before, commentary, like, just that I think she'd be good at it. Like, but yeah, B, I was thinking about it when MJF was on commentary. I was like, yeah, as always, like, it's so fun when a heel's on commentary. Like, that's just, yeah, the best. Yeah. She's such a good fit. Never have a woman.
No, they like. I feel like they pulled Brit in maybe once.
Yeah. Thunder Rosa has done it. Oh yeah, Thunder Rosa has done it on the YouTubes, but I don't like. Oh, I don't think, yeah, ever on Dynamite.
No, not on Dynamite. Yeah,
yeah. But it's crazy. It's bad. It's a bad situation.
I know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to be a knee jerk. Like, you know, like, I'm not looking for problems, but it does seem like something where I'm like, women are like really good at talking. They could definitely, yeah, be on commentary. This isn't like a hard one.
You right, have- exactly. Especially when you do have JR, bless his heart, saying the stuff he says, you know, just like get a little counterbalance.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or start saying disrespectful things about the men's bodies and, yeah, you know,
please,
that'd be okay too.
This is only barely
we're trying. We're bringing it in. We're doing our best, but we don't have much of a platform.
Yeah, exactly. We can only preach in our little corner of the wilderness, but you have the entire sky. What were you saying, Leah?
This is only barely related, but Sarah Shockey on Marty and Sarah has been saying that they have Tony Schiavone doing too much, and that like some of the stuff that they have him do, they could give to like either like one of the women wrestlers or like Dasha or someone, yeah, and be like, and it is true. Like, when I watched Tony Schiavone teleport, yeah, around that little arena, it was like, why are they doing that?
They did have a woman interviewer this week. Oh, I don't remember anything specific. They did. She was doing like a little backstage interview that like Alex Marvez type thing. Like, she wasn't super memorable or anything, but I was like, oh, that's good. And I would like it. I don't know that Renee is looking for a job, but you know, Renee is very qualified. She's for that kind of
I think she's still under a non-compete.
She had a really long non-compete. I think, yeah, Marty and Sarah... Ugh. Or maybe Fightful said something about this recently. Said, yeah, that like it's kind of like we're theorizing that she is like will come to AEW after her non-compete is up.
Yeah. That'd be great. She's great.
Yeah, I would love that. She is. Yeah, she's great. Okay, and then also the Bunny fought new debuting women's wrestler Toni Storm, who, mm-hmm, was in WWE and got. Mm-hmm. Did I read something? You showed it.
You show me. You showed it.
She was in NXT and she got released. I texted my friend Nan, who watches NXT, and she was like, "Oh, Toni Storm is really cool, and she's a really good wrestler. I think she's an NXT MMA wrestler.
Oh,
and she's married to another wrestler who I don't remember his name right now. But then I immediately Google imaged him and was like, oh wow, that is a classic ugly man, beautiful woman.
Oh no,
good for him,
Toni.
She did say that she's not necessarily the best on the mic, and I was kind of like, oh, we really got a lot of that. But that said, she looked very cool and she wrestled very cool.
Yeah. Let's all give her our new woman rating.
Oh yeah. Her fiance is six, seven.
Okay.
I'd give her just a straight 5. I felt very neutral on her. Like, I liked her whole look and stuff. The name Toni Storm is pretty funny to me for some reason. I don't know why. It's just Toni Storm. Like, all right. But she had cool gear, cool hair. She's fine.
She's down. I can't. It would be sexist to give her a score higher than this. It was a 3 for me. I was not interested in this woman. I'm afraid she is a blonde, and that is not.
It's not what you're looking for.
JB Hayter is a blonde.
No, she's not. She's got her own whole thing going on.
Wow. So if a woman's hot enough, she can transcend her blondness.
She doesn't
to be no
look
longer blonde.
You know what I mean. There's a difference between those hair colors. Anyway,
I literally don't think there is.
There is, because doesn't she? Jamie Hayter has her like
she has
dark,
like a streak.
Come
a dark
on, guys.
Streak, I think
so. Does Toni Storm?
Toni Storm definitely does too.
You know
yeah.
what? We're gonna find a photo of each of them, put them next to each other, and the listeners can weigh.
And then, yeah, and then
yeah,
the
we'll just play actual hot or not.
We do it with the men. We do it with the men.
Oh, so you're saying it would be sexist not to
yes,
do it with the women?
That. Okay. Thank you, Anne. You took the words. You put the words right into my mouth.
That is what I did. Yes. Jamie Hayter's quite blonde. I'm like Googling just to make sure I'm remembering her correctly.
She just, look, this is, no, I'm not picking a fight with her, but she didn't do anything that made me be like, oh, I'm interested. She was full, just like medium, middle of the road for me. So she got a 3, and she's welcome to work
you
on
didn't.
That score.
You didn't like that little like emotional moment at the end? I liked it.
Where she was like,
thank you. And I read a recap that was like, Storm's emotional thank you to their fans at ringside reflected a woman who needed that reception to remind her that she's still a major player in a sport she probably lost some passion for under her previous employer.
I thought,
like, Ellie, she is employer. The blonde woman Jeff Hardy. Come on.
Oh my God. I can't believe okay. that's supposed to be a recommendation.
She's been rescued. She's a puppy. She's never run on grass. Now Tony's taking her to the park and he's letting her run free. Her paws has only known the kennel.
I don't know. Maybe
if you told me a blonde woman, Jeff Hardy, like what I would be picturing. Just.
And I like if I picture it in a Jeff Hardy outfit and face paint, it's a woman and she's a freak. I love that. I don't know. Well, I think it's like, true. It's kind of, I think it's maybe it's a problem with me because I just don't like, I don't immediately connect necessarily with Toni Storm.
No, I mean, I didn't either. Like, I felt very
I'm
neutral
like,
on her.
A little
like,
bit.
She's certainly welcome to win me over.
To me, unfortunately, Toni Storm, it's like, to me, I'm on the volleyball team with her in middle school, and she's not, like, very nice to me. Like, to me.
Okay, so the thing is that we are both projecting, but we're both projecting completely different things, because I instantly was like, that's a pathetic woman, and we need those.
Pathetic woman. Pathetic woman representation.
I think yes. I appreciate, you know what? I do appreciate that perspective, and we are each projecting our own things. And Elizabeth was on the volleyball team with me.
Oh wow.
And I didn't
full
like
name
her.
Called out.
I know. Well, should we bleep it?
I mean,
don't go looking don't for know. Her.
You that's haven't crazy. Said your full name on this podcast, so I'm gonna get it's probably fine.
Oh my God, that's right. Okay, this is it, guys. If you're listening, we're having fun, no worries.
What?
Yeah.
I meant to be like, this is our little secret, listeners. It was Elizabeth. It wasn't really bad bullying, she just wasn't really
my
nice
God.
Okay, should
yeah
we move
sure
on?
And I'm sure she's an adult now who is a person that's fine.
With a personality like that.
Whew.
Okay. Toni, you know what? Be a freak backstage, and I will join Leah in loving you as a pathetic woman. Okay.
I think nothing we said could be more complimentary.
This is absolutely fine to me. It can't be worse than anything else I think I said. So, you want to talk about Fuego del Sol or what?
No.
No.
Not
skip.
Really.
Let's quickly just talk about Darby Andrade.
Yeah.
So good. So good.
Bullet point. So we enjoyed that.
You have to say what Anna, who has been on this podcast, said about Darby.
She was, it was so gratifying. It was her and Josh, my friends and ex-roommates, both on this podcast. I went over to their place last night to hang out, and then full like sportsman moves. I've been there. I'm like, we're just chatting. I've been there like 10 minutes. I just go, well, while we're cornholing, could we just put the wrestling on?
The game's on. I need to just, I'll just have it on the background.
I was like, you can turn the volume up. Just put it on the background. We're just while we're cornholing. so the whole night, though, so we watched the whole thing. They're great. We had fun. The whole night, every time they do a little Darby promo, or it's like they'd be like, up tonight, like, you know, whatever. She's like, oh my gosh, Darby's wrestling tonight. Our friend Mike, who hasn't watched any wrestling, is there. She goes, Mike, you got to see Darby. You got to see Darby. And like when the match actually comes on, Mike's over there. He's like doing some work. She goes, Mike, stop doing your, you got to come over here and see Darby. Because when Darby's on screen, you can't not watch Darby. And I was like, babe, you are so right. Wow. Sing it.
Really converted her. I love that.
I know. She doesn't care about anyone else. Well, no, she likes, who did I say she likes? Nope, gone from brain. But she did say, oh, someone said that Hangman, they were like, he looks like he's like on meth, but happy about it. Not Hangman, Adam Cole.
Oh, Adam Cole. Yeah, that's more.
I was like, wow, that's an energy that I don't think he means to be given out. Darby did fight Andrade. This is so good.
Wow. The fact that Andrade started the fight from outside the ring, and the commentators just kept being like, the match can't start until they both get into the ring for a minute, and like he just kept brutalizing him outside. And then that moment when like Darby was like trying to pull himself out into the ring, and Bryce was like, you don't have to do this, nobody is asking you to do this, and he grabbed Bryce by the shirt front, pulled him down, and was like, start the match. What's happening right now is perfect to me.
It's crazy. I wish like this feud, like when Andrade was trying to buy him and stuff, that was very funny, but I do wish the feud overall had like a little more weight to it, because this match was like so good and would be such a good payoff to like a little more emotional investment for me.
Yeah, well, yeah, I think I do kind of agree, but I'm also like, I've just like not really thought about what that emotion, that deeper emotional thing would be, and I don't like know that I have any good ideas for Andrade, because he was, his hugest thing has just been like he was so funny in this feud. Mm-hmm. So it's like, do I think he has an emotional issue that should have been addressed? I don't know, but I do need them to fight. They're really good at it. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think I have any complaints about what they're giving each other, because what they're doing is good. It's like every other member of this feud is like dropping the ball. Like,
yeah,
I don't give a shit about any of the family office people. I don't give a shit about Sammy. I don't, you know, like,
I know. And whatever. I feel like it just got like diluted, because there was like a lot of time with the other people. Like, it's been a long time since Darby and Andrade have like really interacted.
We were reminded that Andrade is sexually fixated on Darby.
I mean, there was ragdolling.
Yeah.
There was ragdolling and...
just real classic Darby doing what Darby does best, which is get the pulp beat out of him by a larger man.
Anna calls the thing that he does in the middle of the match, like where he like will just be like, I've been hurt so much. She calls it going lizard. She's like, he's going lizard. And his little tongue comes out. It's, and she's kind of right. You can see that it's like a little lizard getting really big. Okay, guys, you want to wrap up with a little round of fuck, marry, kill that we received. It's three rounds, actually, that we received from a listener.
Listener.
You guys say yes, I say. Okay, so the ask is from listener Jess.
I'm sorry, I didn't trust you.
It's okay. Okay, I will read the first round.
Okay.
Matt Jackson. Hook. Ricky Starks.
I think that this is possibly going to be controversial, and I'm so sorry about that. But I'm killing Matt Jackson.
Wow.
What? Okay.
Unexpected.
I can't engage with him in any way. Nope. No, thank you.
You can engage with him enough to kill him dead.
I don't have to do it in person. I could just poison him.
No, you personally are doing poison.
You're to blame. You are to blame for his death.
I don't have to like I don't have to like choke him out though. Like I can.
You think it would be easy to kill someone if you don't have to choke them out?
I'd be fine with murdering Matt Jackson as long as I don't touch him physically.
Oh, yeah, if Matt Jackson.
Yes, that's exactly my point. Yeah, that's my thesis. Absolutely. It would be easy to kill Matt Jackson if I didn't have to touch him.
You don't want to touch Matt Jackson physically.
No. Never. No, sorry. Kill Matt Jackson. Okay. I'd fuck Hook and I'd marry Ricky Starks.
You'd fuck Hook?
Yeah, I'd fuck Hook.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Okay. And.
Well, I would also fuck Hook because that seems obvious to me, but I'd marry Matt Jackson and kill Ricky Starks. Matt Jackson seems like a very devoted husband, and I don't have hangups, I guess.
Good... You don't have what?
Weird hangups like some people on this podcast.
Okay, well, that was accusatory. I didn't like it.
Which version do you get to make love to your chosen husband forever? Is it a sex?
Yeah.
You do?
No, yeah.
Yeah? Forever?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, forever.
Until they die, Allie.
I'll be marrying Matt Jackson. And we're going to be very happy together.
Well.
Oh, my gosh. I will fuck Ricky Starks. I don't know what that's going to be like. But
you're going to you're going to kill Hook?
Yeah, he's dead to me now.
How dare you?
But I killed him. Now that I killed him, I'm afraid he's dead to me.
And to be clear, will you be choking him out?
I didn't realize that we were in charge of
the detail of the murder.
I guess that's what it's called, though. You take it. Whoa. Well, this is making
I guess you're not doing the other two by proxy. Although you're not really telling the details of it. Like, we're not describing the wedding.
So. No. So we don't have to describe whether or not we'd choke him out with our hands. Okay, round two. Ray Phoenix, Orange Cassidy, Adam Cole.
Oh, I'm so sorry, Ray Phoenix. I have nothing against you, but I gotta deal with
that. You decide to kill who you're gonna kill first.
I have to figure out which one I'm gonna kill.
That's so mean because it's like it's like you wanted to kill them. When you do it the other way, you get to them and you're like, I'm so sorry. I just gave out everything
else. Realize.
Yeah. How did we end up here?
Don't
anyway.
Feel bad, Ray Phoenix. Like, it's only because it's a numbers game.
Anyways, I'm marrying OC and fucking Adam Cole.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd do the same, but I would say it in a different order. You know, I'd marry OC first and then fuck Adam
You wouldn't
Cole,
start
then,
with the one you'd murder?
Yeah, and then I'd be like, oh, yeah, I guess Ray Phoenix has to die now. But.
I would play a game sometime where I discuss. Never mind.
No, say it.
I discuss which wrestlers I'd kill and how. That would just be the game.
That game is called Getting This Podcast Banned.
That's why
we get arrested for threats.
That's why I stopped talking. You said, I'm not going to say this. And then you made me say it.
It would be funny to like go down the whole AEW roster and like with no number requirement, just be like, what are you going to do to each of them? Are you going to marry them or kill them? Like,
right. Because there are some wrestlers that I could choke Cody out. Like, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
I wouldn't mind.
Easily.
Choke
in a heartbeat.
Wait, so... I thought you said I could show Cody out, and I was like fire him.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, no problem.
I don't know what B was. This is we gotta move on.
What would you do with those three, Allie?
I think same, because Orange Cassidy is gonna provide for me. That's that on that. Adam Cole. This is just a dirtbag. Of course you're meeting him at a bar. You're fucking him. Ray Phoenix is a sweet little guy. So I'm sorry that he has to die. I'm like,
otherwise you have to have sex with him with his mask on. And it's just, it's weird.
And I just do think of him as like a cat. And I'm worried, like a cat from Cats, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like a walking.
It's not right.
It's a walking, talking cat.
Yeah.
I can't fuck that. And finally, we have Thunder Rosa, Jamie Hayter, Mercedes Martinez.
This one is so brutal. This one is like incredibly brutal. I don't.
Yeah. Yeah. What are you going to do? You're
I
in trouble.
I literally don't know. Who am I going to kill? I don't want to kill these women.
But you have to.
Well,
And yet you killed Matt Jackson so easily.
I know.
And I'd do it again, Anne.
I'm going to tell him you said that, and he's not going to be happy. This is the problem. Look, I love that we get to fuck whoever we marry, but I don't think that's the right way to play the game because it makes it, like, too easy for me, kind of. Like, there's no trade-off. Because
you're just like,
I've never
who do I
want to
fuck the
way.
Most? Who do I want to fuck the second most? And then who's third?
Yeah, basically. Yeah. And yeah, that's we always played it that it's like, if you marry them, you don't get to fuck them. And that's why it's hard. Because you're like, I want to be around that person all the time, but we'll never know each other carnally.
Yeah, I mean, that does make it harder. I always think it's weird when people play it in a, like, sexless marriage way. Because, like, that's...
Yeah.
Not what marriage is.
Yeah, so. It's not what marriage is. It's like, what's that Barbara Streisand movie where they do that? The mirror has two faces. I don't want to do that in real life. No, thank you.
I don't want to do it. That's the problem. I think. Is that what I was saying the problem was?
I think I'm going to kill Thunder Rosa because she's already from a graveyard.
Wow. Because she's already from a graveyard.
Yeah, that'll get
you out of trouble. She'd just be happy.
That'll get you out of trouble.
She would just be happy to go back there.
Bold claim on Tunnel Talk Podcast.
And a fucking Jamie hater. And I'm marrying Mercedes.
Wow.
That's, yeah.
Leah and Mercedes Martinez.
You're just carving your names Leah with a little Martinez. Heart together. Yeah. You can, it'll be easy to visit your families in the Brass City.
My family can come to the wedding because it'll be in the Brass City.
That's right.
And they wouldn't be able to come if it were anywhere else.
No. If it were in a graveyard, there's no way.
They can't come to the graveyards of Tijuana. They can't go there. It's too far.
It's too far. Okay. Well, yep. Anne?
I'm going to marry Thunder Rosa. And then, I don't know. Probably fuck Jamie Hayter and kill Mercedes. So sorry, Leah.
Wow.
Sorry.
You're going to choke her out?
Yeah.
If this becomes a recurring question
on our
podcast.
Yeah, whenever we like rant about someone we don't like, then it'll be our ending question. You going to choke them out?
Well,
what about you, Allie?
I am going to marry Jamie Hayter, fuck Mercedes Martinez, and kill Thunder Rosa.
Wow, you both killed Thunder Rosa.
Mercedes and Jamie are more my type. They are my type. So I have to marry and fuck. I have to fuck them and fuck them as much as I want. Do you see what I mean when I'm like saying like? I guess the idea.
But it is also you have to live with one of them. Like, you know, you might want to like fuck Adam Cole, but not live with him for the rest of your life.
I think he's probably great to live with. Honestly,
I mean, yes.
Who did I?
Maybe well, that's Hook, the thing. It's like in kayfabe or not. You know, like kayfabe. Adam Cole does not seem like he'd be good to live
he'd
with.
No. But bring a lot of drama into your home for
yeah.
sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because
he'd always be bringing other people home and be like, yeah, exactly. Oh, no. Dead Matt Jackson.
Dead Matt Jackson in the home?
I can't be having that.
It's not hygienic.
That's why I couldn't marry Adam Cole.
Good thought.
Thank you so much.
Well, I think we did a really good job with that assignment. And
yeah. Jess, I hope you loved
no
that.
No problems with that was pretty much worth. Anything we said. So
not a problem.
The end. On
R.I.P.
R.I.P. Rip to those we killed and see the rest of you in the bedroom. I've been Allie.
I've been Ann.
And I've been Leah.
And this is Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme is by Chris Gorkin. You can find us on Twitter at Tunnel Talk Pod, via email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And come back next week.